This podcast contains strong adult content, probably crude language, and general fuckery. So put those kids away. Get them out of here.
Good evening. In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortion.
Huge increases in sexually transmitted diseases.
Transgender rights is a fundamental human right.
There is a right to marriage equality. I repeat, speaking to you from the steps of the Supreme Court, there is a right to marriage equality.
Should sex education be taught to our kids?
Rolling back contraceptive coverage for women.
To make sure that women get the health care that they need. So we've got a lot of work in front of us. Thank you very much.
Ooh. That felt good.
Cracking open a cold one.
Oh yeah, that's the stuff.
Mouth sounds is what people are really into with, you know, podcasts. So
yes, I'm always trying to get Frisky History ASMR version.
This sounds
is not the episode. So let's not this time. In fact, let's just not make jokes the whole episode. It's probably safer.
That? Yeah. Oh, God. I'm a little scared for this one.
Yeah. I'm scared, and I have been doing it for forever. I'm so glad it's over in a way that, like, I didn't want to spend any more time.
Oh, my God.
In this world.
So you're like, now this is for you to deal with.
Yes. I'm taking it, and I'm putting it all on all of you. And it's your burden to carry.
Yeah.
And I'm done with it.
Oh, boy.
So with that being said, welcome to Frisky History.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Lacey.
And I'm Robin.
And this is a podcast about the history of reproductive health care and feminism.
Mm-hmm.
No
mm-hmm.
jokes. Mm-hmm. This is straight facts this episode.
No jokes.
Two cans of wine.
Yes.
Two ladies ready to learn. Maybe
ready
cry a little.
Cry. Yes.
It's going to be great.
Okay.
Did you watch Unbelievable?
Oh, God, yes.
It's so good.
I watched all of it in one day.
Yeah.
And I felt it was a lot. It was a lot.
It is.
To watch in one day.
It is a lot.
Don't recommend it, but also do, because, like, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was so, so, so good. And also, like, so fucking upsetting. Just like, what? Oh, God.
It is. It was real. It's upsetting and, like, almost to, like, a good way, because of it's upsetting because it's so well represented.
It is.
You know, I feel like they really, I don't know. Like, I watched that show and I'm just like, yes, 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 exactly. Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. That is, like, truly such a good representation of a female experience. Like, it's very specific because it's like a certain story and, like, certain jobs in a certain world, but, like, it still manages to also be a real representation of just being a woman.
Yeah.
And God, and, like,
to, so just how many times she had to describe her
so upsetting.
Assault to so many different people. Where they're like, oh, I know, I'm sorry, but you have to do it. And you have to write it down. And you have to tell the nurse. And you have to tell the detective again.
And you just, like, got done. And now tell them.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's so stressful. And, like.
It is.
Oh, God.
And I appreciated so much how they showed the, like, range of how people deal with a traumatic experience. You know, like, obviously her reaction might be hard to understand for everyone, but it's a real fucking reaction, like forgetting things, misremembering things, like saying that it never happened so that you can just stop being fucking berated about it. Like,
exactly.
You know, I'm like representing a background that, like, she comes from a traumatic place as a foster fucking kid from the system. Like, that's already gonna be hard. And they barely mentioned it, but, like, at one point they're like, who would do that to a kid, feeding her dog food? So, like,
I know,
obviously.
Ugh, like, okay,
you
whoa.
Know,
yeah.
So then when the girl, the, like, second girl that they interview with, the first, it's, you know, the, like, first the girl girly. That the female cops interview, which, by the way, I love Toni Collette and that other girl who's, God, I don't know her name, and I'm so ashamed of myself for that.
They were incredible,
but she's so good. They're so good.
Yeah, they're really, really, really good together. Oh, my God, it was perfect.
Just watch the show if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Watch it right now. Turn off this podcast, because who cares about us? We are meaningless. Go watch that show.
Mm-hmm.
It's better And it deserves it way more than we do.
Oh my God. It's true, though.
It's true, though. It's Go watch it. Like, usually I cut down the beginning of us talking because I'm like, I know you guys aren't here for this. You're here for, like, the other part. And I want to respect that, but I'm leaving all of this in.
Yeah. No, it's please do, because it's an important show. And I think, I mean, a lot of people texted me about it and they were like, have you seen this yet? You need to watch it. And
so good.
I was like, oh, it's going to be really emotionally taxing, but I'll do it. And then I did. And I'm very glad I did. I feel like I learned a lot more and I'm more aware of, like, how the police force or how the system handles sexual assaults like that. And it's fucking awful. It is not great. But in the end, I mean, you know, the detectives who really did care about it were, you know, they told the women's stories really well. And I don't know, they like jumped to the victim's defense a lot, which was like, fuck yeah. I don't know. It felt really good.
No, like watching the two men handle it versus then watching how females handle it. Like, I mean, night and fucking day.
Huge metaphor for everything.
Everything. And it blows my mind because I just feel like it's not that hard. But
have a little empathy. Yeah.
And respect. And just, you know, don't be a fucking asshole. It's really the lesson here.
Yeah.
I don't want to. Bestow on everyone. Just don't be a fucking asshole.
Yeah, right?
And then you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true, but, you know, you'll be slightly better.
Than the asshole.
Just a little bit. Okay.
Yes.
So I have a thick with two C's
you
stack
do.
Of papers here. You know I put a lot of spaces, so it's not, like, as bad as it looks.
Yes.
But it's not good.
It's not great.
It's not a great situation for you to have been in with me right now.
That's okay.
Okay.
You know what? Where else? I have nowhere to be.
Mm-mm.
Nowhere.
Yeah, you have like no life at all. So I don't even
not at all. It's pathetic.
Okay. So do you want to just like get started?
I think we should dive in.
Okay.
Now I'm like, what?
You're going to find out very quickly what it is. Because I don't, this isn't a reveal.
Surprise.
This is let me just go ahead and fucking say it up front and then trigger warn the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Also, do you want more light? Do you feel like it's dark in here?
It's a little dark.
Okay, let's just do this because the sun's going down. So it's going to get darker.
Okay.
We'll put on some good mood lighting that'll really help.
Ooh, yeah. Accent the tears. Ooh.
Hello. Okay. Lovely. Ready?
Yes, I was distracted.
No, it's okay.
Completely looking the opposite direction.
You're like, I totally want to do this. I'm like, oh, look, isn't that pretty? We're going to do it, though. We're here and we're going to do it. So.
Okay.
In 1899, at a hypnosis conference, Albert von Schrenick, not saying is what we're going to go with, is a German psychiatrist. He bragged that with only 45 hypnosis sessions and a few trips to a brothel, he had changed a man's sexual impulses from gay to straight.
No.
And with that, in front of a bunch of hypnosis nerds, Albert von Schrenick, Nazi, I don't know why I decided to put his name in here again, began what would be later known as conversion therapy.
Okay.
So trigger warning.
Yeah.
Hard on this one.
Fuck.
It's not going to be fun to listen to. Like, it's not like I didn't just like seek out the worst things ever. I just tried to include the research I found as, you know, transparently as possible, so I'm not like purposely trying to upset anyone, but just so you know, like, none of this is gonna be fun to hear. Trigger warning. If you are sensitive about any of this, if you have you know, past traumatic experiences, or if you just don't like to hear about these kinds of things, sit this one out.
I don't have a choice.
Take care of you. Robin has to stay though.
Oh god.
All right. So we're going to talk about the history of conversion therapy.
Okay. Have you listened to that podcast about it? Not about it.
Is it?
It's like about certain stories of it.
Yes.
It's
the,
like Unerased.
Yeah. I did. I actually started listening to it because of this episode.
It's a really good podcast.
It is.
But this will be better.
Totally.
I don't know.
I only listened to a couple episodes. Because it's like people's, like stories of their experiences. So I listened to that. And actually, the guy that hosts it, whose name I'm just like totally blanking on right now. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that he had this podcast, but I really like him because he did.
He does something.
Radiolab, I think, is what he does podcasts for, including More Perfect, which is like a Supreme Court podcast, which is really, really good.
Rod.
Yes.
I don't know what his actual name is. I just know like the sounds that his name makes.
That's because
he's like, I'm Chad Abenrod.
Yeah, Chad, I think his name is Job Abenrob or something. Very close.
That's all
to that.
I hear. I will. Chad Abenrob.
Yes.
I don't know his name.
I don't either. But hear him say I do really like him. I think he makes really good shows. So I will probably, once I have a break from this, because literally I've been trying to do this episode for like 2 weeks. Oof. And it's like I can only do like an hour or two at a time, and then I have to stop. Ugh.
Yeah.
And I tried to like supplement the reading and writing about it with like, oh, I'll watch. So like two movies came out last year, like The Miseducation of Cameron Post and Boy Erased were two movies that came out. So I watched both of those like like over like 2 days. I watched one, and then I think I waited like a day and I watched the other one as like, I'm still kind of learning about it, doing research without having to like do the part where I like read and then rewrite the thing I just read that's really difficult to read and then just doing it again. So I don't know. It's not fun, and I'm glad it's over.
Yeah.
But yes, Unerased is seemed like a good show. So
that's good.
If you're interested in more, check that out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But stick around.
Yes. But stay here for this first. Please. I went through so much just to do this. I mean, I didn't. I mean, everyone who wrote the original things, they did all the work. So really, I just read what they wrote and then like transferred it to my paper in one way or another.
Here we
are. Here we are. I'm gonna take a sip of canned wine.
Get in on that.
Okay. So other than being one of the most horrific things that we allow in this country, conversion therapy is a collection of pseudoscientific, which basically just means discredited practices, that claim to quote unquote reprogram. And also there's a lot of quotes in here. So I feel like I should just do blanket statement. If I phrase something or say something that sounds offensive and wrong, I promise I am just trying to write what they thought or said.
Yes.
I do not endorse these ideas. I think it's all crazy and they are the worst.
Yes.
So just know that.
Noted.
Okay. So it claims to reprogram an individual sexual orientation or gender identity in an attempt to force them to conform to society's expectations of how they should behave, based on the idea that a lack of hetero attraction is inherently wrong, harmful, sinful, or dangerous.
So this is still happening today.
Mm-hmm.
This is still like legal. Mm-hmm.
There are laws, but it's still legal.
Yeah.
And according to some people, which I have in here later, like happens in some way or another, it's currently happening in every state.
Oh my God.
We'll talk about that.
I don't know why I didn't know that. But
yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So today, conversion therapy is practiced by licensed mental health professionals, unlicensed counselors, and religious leaders, sometimes just in church basements, because that's healthy. And it typically targets kids under 18, usually by request of their parent or caretaker. We ready to get depressed? Because I'm just gonna we're gonna start at the beginning. Yes. We're gonna go to today.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. So we're gonna look at the history of conversion therapy throughout three periods. First is the Freudian period. Then it goes into like a mainstream mental health period, and then finally a post Stonewall period.
Okay.
And that last one is basically where medical professionals were like, nah, fuck this. Like, this is dangerous and completely ineffective and it's total bullshit. So they like disavow conversion therapy, and that's when the churches swoop in and they're like, thank you, we'll have this. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're going with this one. Okay. Spoiler alert. Okay. Speaking of churches, I'm sure it's no surprise that religion has been condemning homosexuality since the 1100s. Mm-hmm. During those centuries, homosexuality was considered deviant, sinful, and it was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And this particularly focused on gay men, which generally is the theme here. Like,
yeah,
a lot of the treatments, the cures, quote unquote, again, like everything seemed to really be focused and have a like concern for gay men. Mm. And I'm not really sure, like, gay women like aren't even mentioned or it's not even applied to them. I think today's conversion therapy is not like that. It's a equal opportunity of awfulness. But like, it just seems like leading up to this point, there's a large focus on men.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've always wondered that. I wonder, like, why that is. Or if maybe the women's stories just aren't told, or if it's...
Yeah, I don't know. Because there's I've seen, you know, things that like, you know, memes or people talking online about how, you know, like in the case of when people are bisexual, women usually it's people are like, whatever, you're not bisexual, you're just going to end up with a dude. And with men, it's like, whatever, you're bisexual, you just want to be gay.
Yeah,
like, you know, so it's like always centered on somehow still centered on a man.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has to be attracted to men. I don't know. I don't know why, though. I have no idea. But I feel like it's still, like, a thing.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
I don't know why.
I never really thought about it that way.
I mean, women, like, we can create living things. If anything, like, sexual things should be focused on us. We're like...
Hello.
Hello.
Look at us.
We can make these things.
Creation.
What can you do? It doesn't matter, though.
Nope.
And this shouldn't be focused on anyone because it's awful.
Sorry.
Sorry.
trying to cope.
Okay, so when we reach the late 1800s, licensed professionals like psychiatrists and doctors started competing with the Jesus people for getting involved in something that was none of their fucking business. And they started trying to treat homosexuality medically and mental healthily.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a tough pill to swallow. This shift to homosexuality becoming a medical or psychiatric condition was actually thought to be a pretty progressive movement, because you can't blame a person for being sick like you can blame them for being a sinner or a criminal.
Wow.
So... Whoa. It's really depressing. Like, that was considered a progressive move at the time.
Okay. Oh my God.
Okay. Okay, so first I think we should talk about theories that doctors had on why people were gay.
Okay.
This could honestly be like a whole episode, so I'm just going to pick a few.
Okay.
But it is not reflective of the entire history of this.
Of course.
But for time's sake, so theory one is hereditary degeneration, and this comes from around 1886. This theory comes from Richard von Krafft-Ebing, our second Von of the episode, in his book, Psychopathia Sexualizes, and special references to the antipathic sexual instinct of medico-forensic study.
Okay, bitch.
They love their titles back then, don't they? They are so long.
Jeez.
Just, like, included in the book. Like, the whole book doesn't have to be the title of the book. Okay, so at this time, the term homosexuality existed, but it was his work that really popularized it. And he presented homosexuality as a severe manifestation of hereditary degeneration. So, basically, he's taking... the conversation to, like, a genetic level. Like, you had some sort of internal problem that led to you having, like, a gay gene, basically.
Oh, okay. So it's your fault. You made this gene in yourself.
Something went wrong in there. And so you can't control it, but it is still saying that there is something, like, you're not normal, basically, and that,
okay, dude,
you know, it's genetic, in like a gay gene. I don't, it's crazy, it's honestly insane, it's, but
yeah,
truly what they thought. But then late in his life, after a literal, I can't be homophobic because my best friend is gay kind of situation, he decided that homosexuals could be perfectly respectable and functional individuals.
So, that, what, like,
cool guy.
Why even?
I don't know.
I fucking hate that. Oh my God.
Thanks, dude.
But I'm going to take a stance and say that they're functional.
You know what?
He's really brave.
Since Gary became my best friend, I think some, I mean, I'm still not going to go for all, but some homosexuals can be okay, I guess, sometimes.
Oh my God. Poor Gary.
Super cool. No, I'm so, like, sorry, come on, Gary. Man. You do not need him as your friend. You can do better. Theory two in this is that it's all about the testicles. This is sometime in the early 1900s. I'm going to say, like, within the first 20 years. I couldn't really tell exactly when.
Fine.
But at the latest, like, 1920s.
Okay.
According to an Austrian endocrinologist, Eugene Steinick, homosexuality came from a man's testicles. And what we need to be doing is testicle transplants.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I feel like you could probably guess what that is, but I'll go ahead and tell you that during these experiments.
I'm just kidding. So, what's a testicle?
Oh my God. Who even knows?
I gotta lighten it up a little.
It's okay.
By not knowing what a testicle is.
It's God.
But truly, I don't know how you would. Replace it?
Okay, so here's what you do.
Okay.
So gay men were basically castrated.
Holy fuck.
And then, oh my, I don't know what's happening. People are angered by this information. Yeah, the whole world is listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel it. Okay, so gay men were castrated and had heterosexual testicles reattached.
Oh my God.
How, you may ask?
Oh my God.
Would they determine? And also, where were they getting them from? These are good questions. Like, they're great questions.
Who's the straight guy?
This just, like, you can have mine. I donate mine.
I don't need them.
Just take them. I'm honestly not even sure what they are.
Oh my God.
Yes.
How?
I don't know. I don't know. I could not figure out more information on it.
What the fuck? That's crazy. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll have an episode on this if we can find it. But at the moment, I have no other information to share. Except that that was a thing that happened. For real, this was done.
Okay.
And he thought that this would definitely work because he had done previous experiments on rats where the procedure apparently changed their sexual characteristics.
Oh, my God.
Which
what?
I just can't. I don't even know how with this. You're telling me you found male gay rats. You took their tiny balls off. Replaced them with straight rats. You took their balls.
Oh my God.
And then you put those balls onto the other rat.
He put human man straight balls onto a gay rat.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
And was like,
that is
fixed.
A horror movie. And now this rat doesn't want to fuck any more male rats. Probably doesn't want to do anything but die because you took his balls and then put new balls on him.
I know. It's like, if you're going to take them off, just leave it.
Just leave them off.
Oh my God.
But you need the straight balls to then give you the heterosexualness that your gay balls weren't.
Oh my God.
But you can't just remove the gay balls and be done with it? I don't know.
I just don't know the logic.
Okay, like, it's science, Robin, so obviously.
What?
I have no idea.
Oh my God.
Okay. I don't know.
Oh God.
Okay.
Bookmark that.
Yeah.
Save that for later.
Back to that one later.
Stay up all night.
We'll be back to you, Eugene.
Jesus.
Gotta know what was going on there, but we have no time for it. So, our third and final theory is that it's a psychological disorder. So Sigmund Freud, of the Freudian slip and very famous father of psychoanalysis, was influenced by Dr. Eugene. He was influenced by Dr. Please Stop Cutting Off Men's Balls, Eugene.
Yes, yes. That's what they called him in college. In college.
That was his friend's nickname.
Oh, my God.
Or his nickname in his... I don't know. I'm just trying to get through this, okay? Okay. So he was influenced in a way that he thought that Steinek's research brought to life the theory of the organic determinants of homoeroticism. Mm. I do not know what that means, really. I don't know what he's talking about. What I do know is that Freud did not think that the testicle operations would work for everybody. Not that it would never work for some reason, but this, that it wouldn't always work. He said that the transplant procedures would be effective when the homosexuality was strongly associated with physical characteristics typical of women, which I'm assuming they're just referring to, like, the personality. And they're saying, like, if a gay man behaves in a way that they would classify as effeminate, that that's when the procedure will work. I don't know.
What the fuck?
I don't understand any of them because they're talking crazy. It doesn't make sense. And really, it doesn't matter because they're 100% wrong all of the time about all of it. So, Freud also pointed out that this transplant would do nothing for lesbianism because we are missing the goods to even attempt a ball transplant.
What the fuck?
Again, yeah, either way, wrong. Totally fucking wrong on every count.
I don't know, man. This is, oh boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't understand where it's like, why do you fucking care so much? Why do you care so much that you come up with these fucking theories and like things that make no sense and you move forward and you, oh my God, it's just like, it fucking doesn't affect you at all.
Out of all of the medical mysteries and things that you could be putting your fucking PhD brain towards, I don't even know if they had PhDs in the early 1900s. Like, I have no idea, but but out of everything,
yeah,
I just don't. This is not the thing to focus on because it's none of your goddamn business.
No,
go fix something important like cancer or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
it makes no sense, but. Anywho, we're doing it, and that's what we did. That's what we spent a good, like, over a century now. Actually, really, we're talking, like, multiple centuries, and honestly, since the 1100s, when the Christians were fucking bothering about it, we just can't let it go.
Oh, my God. Just let it go.
Yeah. Eventually, of course, Steinek's method was deemed ineffective and often harmful. After people discovered that our immune systems actually reject transplanted glands. And also, what the fuck did you think was going to happen?
God.
Moving on. So Freud believed that this is really like his theory on this. Mm-hmm. He believed that we are all born bisexual and that you become gay based on your conditioning. So your experiences with your parents and your friends and whoever else you're around growing up will kind of determine what your sexual orientation goes to. Like you're born in, I'm going to say, this may be a terrible insulting metaphor. I don't know, but I'm going to go with it. You're born in the middle, depending on how you were raised and what your life is like. Yeah. It will determine which way on the, let's say, scale that you go.
Okay.
Is what Freud basically thinks.
That's false.
It's false. It is false.
That's wrong.
As is everything in here, except when people are like, oh, wait, all of this is false. Those are the only people that are right.
Wait a minute. In this whole
episode. Okay, so.
Like, people just literally are just making things up and then saying it as fact.
And making wild. Up things that they then decide to see if are true by doing things like cutting off people's things.
Oh my God.
And putting other things on the things where those things were. It's madness.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Okay.
No. Okay. Okay, and then... So, and then also changing a person's sexual orientation was difficult. And even in what he considered to be the best cases, succeeding really just meant that that person who had no heterosexual feelings will now have them. But you're not really getting rid of the homosexual feelings that they have. Mm. You're just saying, now you also like women, and since that's clearly the best choice in our heteronormative world, mm-hmm. you'll pursue that,
oh my God.
Is what he's saying.
So you can bear sons, not you.
Not even you, because women do it. We've already been here.
Oh, fuck.
So Freud also thought that patients had to want to become heterosexual for good reasons, whereas most, I even dare to say like everyone, of those who were looking to change their sexual orientation wanted to for reasons that he would have considered superficial or insufficient. And that was basically, like, unsurprisingly, fear of social disapproval is the reason that they don't want to be gay men. Okay. And he's saying that's really not a good enough reason to change, therefore you won't be able to.
Okay.
Even though they wouldn't want to change if it didn't exist and they were just accepted and allowed to live that way without it ever being...
Of course. It's not their problem. Normal. It's your fucking problem.
It's like an endless cycle. Like you're, it's victim blaming.
It is.
I mean, 100%. And also, wrong. It's just all wrong. So can't say that enough.
Man.
So there's like this. So sometimes people, I saw it a lot actually in my research. Like sometimes people reference Freud in like a positive light here. Because there's this like famous letter that he wrote to this mother who was looking to like convert her son that she thought to be gay. And in the letter, Freud wrote, "It is nothing to be ashamed of, no vice, no degradation. It's not an illness, just a variation of sexual function." So like, that doesn't sound bad, right?
Right.
But in the same letter, he called heterosexuality the normal one.
Okay. You were so close.
So close. But it definitely takes a turn.
Okay.
Of like, yeah, but like, I know you wish that he could be normal like the rest of us, but it's fine. And also, it's just good to keep in mind that Freud's work is like 100% used to like culturally validate the idea that homosexuality was abnormal. Like, he was one of the founding fathers of this. He wasn't the first, but he was like the biggest, one of the biggest.
Yes.
And he influenced so many people.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So really, it's not good.
Not great.
It's not good.
No, not great.
Mm-mm.
No, no. Ugh, God. Okay. This is a lot.
I know. I'm sorry. There's so much more.
No, it's okay. Because I don't know much about Freud, but don't love him. But, I mean, it's also like it could be, I don't know. He sounds like the first person who wasn't like gay equals bad. He's like, it's just weird.
I think he's the side of the argument where like a lot of people outside of, once we like step out of this idea that homosexuality is just a sin and it makes you a bad person, and we get into this like psychological medical realm, he was one of the people that was like, homosexuality isn't a disease.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not.
Right.
You don't have an illness.
Yeah.
It's just who you are. The problem is he didn't just stop talking.
I know. Dan just like.
He like kept going into this other part so that we're just like, and you lost us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And like Freud is, obviously this is nowhere near the only thing that he brought to the table as far as like, you know, his contributions to the like psychology and psychoanalytical world or whatever you would call it, you know, but it's still a part of it and it's not great.
No, I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
Just trying to understand. But then I realized, like, trying to understand is, like, kind of a dead end.
It's hard, too, for sure.
Oh, my God. It just is, like, yeah. I don't want to understand that thinking.
It's, yeah. I mean, I don't know. If you think of the way that we get to a place as like we have to learn pieces at a time, you know, like this is a step in the right direction. But then when you also think about the things that you had to do to take the steps in the right direction, which are essentially torturing people to try to figure out something that like that when you think about was totally fine in ancient times, it was something that no one bought, like
normal, yeah,
totally fine, no one cared. So we go backwards to then move forward in a really harmful long way, and then like it's 2019 and where are we, you know? Still not in the best place, like we haven't fucking figured it out, and it's so like for such a what seems like such a simple concept that how about LGBTQ people are just people, period, end of sentence, file it away, humans just, that deserve the same right and treatment and respect as everyone else, like we could just be done with it, but the world is a much more complex place full of stupid hatred. People that I do not
fucking
like
hatred. Yes. Anger. There's so much anger. Oh my God.
Yes. Ugh. So much hatred and anger. You're right. So this is, so it's hard to wrap your head around it in any way that's positive at all, which I don't think you have to.
No, I don't.
And I'm not, and I don't either.
No.
So let's just not. Let's not.
Let's not.
Okay. So Freud did side with von Schrenching-Notzing, which I don't know why I use his name, on the whole idea that like hypnotism for homosexuality was like a thing that could work. But
does that work for anything?
Dude, I mean, I have heard, like, Kevin, you heard radio ads where they're just like, want to quit smoking? Want to lose 600 pounds?
We'll drug you and say it was hypnotism.
We'll sneak into your room every single night and make... No, I'm not going to make a joke about... Sorry.
No,
I'm
going to
just stop.
just stop right there. No. Because
that was going to be offensive. But none of you know how it was going to be offensive because I stopped early enough. You don't know. It could have been all kinds of things that I just said there. Imagine the worst one.
Okay.
That's probably it. I'll leave too. I'm sorry.
God. Oh my God. So now they're the hypnotism team.
So yeah, so he agrees with that, but really like that's kind of the end of Freud. I'm not gonna spend a whole episode on him because again, you probably could.
Yeah.
Not gonna. So no. What Freud didn't believe is that homosexuality was a disease. But by the 1920s, that was a concept that was widely accepted by the medical establishment. And as any disease would be handled in the medical world, licensed professionals who were dedicated to protect heteronormativity were out to cure it. So,
Oh my God.
That's kind of where the world is, really. Like Freud is influential and sees this in a certain way, but he's not the only one out there. And a lot of the medical world, I mean, and like it kind of makes sense when you think about it, like if this is like a hot topic that people want to be the ones to solve, like of course they're going to be like, no, this is our realm, like we want to solve this, so it's must be a medical thing, not a psychological thing,
right?
So that we can then try to solve it, you know?
Yeah,
but also wrong and terrible again. So at this time, just to like lay the groundwork, kind of imagine you're here world building legislation. That's probably the trash people. Sorry.
You mean us.
That's probably us. okay.
For context, where, lights sorry. Came on. I don't know.
Yeah, it lights just startling. It's the trash people. God, I hate myself. They're not trash people, and I'm... Anyways, I'm going to stop. Oh, I'm the worst person in this episode somehow.
Oh, somehow. Okay. It's always me, truly. Somehow.
Right, right. So legislators began passing sexual psychopath laws used to target LGBTQ people, and if convicted, they were sent to prison or mental institutions. So that's just kind of the, you know,
yeah,
atmosphere, the vibe that the world has in general towards LGBTQ people.
Of course.
So really, it's not good anywhere.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, warning. I'm just going to throw another one out there because things are going to go downhill real fast.
Okay.
Starting now.
Okay.
And
we were doing so well.
We were, everything seemed peachy, totally fine, but it's about to get sad. So, you know, again, brace yourself or just sit this one out, or you can just like run around in circles screaming loudly while you listen, whatever helps you get through this.
This
and then rate, review, and subscribe, right? I'm sorry that I'm doing this to you. No. You can...
Don't apologize.
Yeah, Robin quits after this episode.
Too sad.
I didn't even mention that, like, Mean Mom was back, you know? Like, Fun Mom Mean Robin. Mom. Mean Mom's been out of town, and she's here.
She's like, hello.
She's back.
Knock, knock.
Hi. Can I tell you about something sad? Okay. Here we go. At the time, medical and mental health professionals didn't call their medical techniques conversion therapy at the time, but that's exactly what this is. These techniques included psychoanalysis and talk therapy, electroconvulsion therapy, which is where electric shock is used to induce seizures, and these can have small side effects like memory loss. Or they just stuck electrode shock things directly into your brain, like into sections of your brain. It was like these implanted, these stainless steel, Teflon coated electrodes into regions of your brain. And you just had wires leading out of your skull that was hooked to machines.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And Robert Galbraith Heath, the man who pioneered this torture, also he liked to pair it with sex workers and heterosexual porn.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So I read about this, but I didn't actually include it in my papers because it was just like a rabbit hole of things. But it was like this, the way that this was set up, like the person who was the patient or really test subject in I think would be a better term for them, like control the electrodes by pressing a button. And the way that they were implanted, it actually caused a pleasurable experience. At the risk of having your fucking head open and things inside your fucking brain, but like it caused like pleasurable experiences. So it's like this, like, it's sort of like the opposite of aversion therapy, which we'll talk about, but it's like you give yourself pleasurable experiences, feelings, and so he's pairing it with, say, a female sex worker,
right?
If it's a man, or heterosexual porn that you're then watching.
Oh my God.
And like I was reading an article about one guy that he did this on, and he like over like a 3-hour session or something, he like hit the button like 1,500 times. And then, like, when the session was over, he, like, asked if he could just do it one more time before they, like, took it away. It was, like, it's insane.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So if you're interested in learning more about that on your own time, because I truly can't cover everything, or, like, this episode will never end.
Yeah.
But Robert Galbraith Heath is the man who did this, so.
Oh my God. Yeah. What?
It's like in the article I was reading framed it as like a part of history that like no one really talks about. Is this guy and his
like pleasure experiment. Machine.
Yeah, it's what very the weird.
Fuck. I mean, okay. I mean, I hate to say this, but like he must have been fucking brilliant to know how to do that.
I think the way he
uses his mind is so fucking warped.
So I did. I also
so upset. Like
read. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. You're
I'm
fine.
Sorry. I'm upsetting you.
No. It's okay. Because like, what? It's not your fault.
I mean, it's not. I didn't hire him.
Yeah.
He. So I was also reading before he started these experiments. He thought that he could do like a similar thing, with the brain to cure. I want to say it was like schizophrenia. I'm almost positive.
Okay.
And it went terribly wrong. And like people like had like extreme, it was like painful. So like, I think there was like some sort of like test run using under the guise of like trying to cure or help schizophrenia patients that went very badly. So, but I also read that he was very charming and like could, you know, charm the pants off of anybody. So like also talking people into letting you do this is... it's just scary.
Like, it's scary. Oh my God. That's some like serial killer shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
That is so fucked up. That's so sad. Okay.
Okay. So some other techniques, because that's just like the start of the list, unfortunately.
Okay, cool.
There were also ice pick lobotomies, which, you know, like how that works and everything.
Is that, okay. I mean, it sounds like they just drill that into your brain.
So they do it through your eye cavity.
Right. Okay,
and they basically just like hammer in an ice pick and it like detaches a certain lobe of your brain that controls like your personality, and like so you basically just become kind of like a like
nothing. Like,
yeah.
You're just a shell of a person.
Yeah, it's like the emotion. I don't know. I mean, I might be wrong, but like yeah, it's something like that. It's awful. It's horrible. And it's just terrible.
I mean, when you said that, I immediately thought of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what he ends up getting.
It's possible.
Spoiler.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so there were also chemical castrations with hormonal treatments. So chemical castrations on its own sounds like fucked up. And then they would do like things, they would give men like things like estrogen to reduce their libidos.
Okay. What?
I don't know where the like science started when they just were like coming up with these ideas, but that's what they did. Doctors also sometimes recommended something called bladder washing, where they inserted a catheter to flush out the bladder.
What the?
And again, we're probably talking about men here. So, you know,
well, yeah.
Right up the pee hole with nitrate or silver solution, by the way. It's what they're pumping in and washing out. So that can't
That's
feel
where
good.
The gay is in the pee.
I guess so. It's in your like urinarial area.
Oh my God!
Urinary tract. Do men also? I mean, urinary tracts are—that's a thing everyone has, right? I'm assuming not just chicks.
I don't know. Infected. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it does. Yeah, we both have it. It's just women get more easily infected because we've got it all out there.
I know. Yeah.
There were also rectal massages, which involved inserting a small device into the rectum to massage the prostate. And one doctor who was a fan of this hypothesized that rectal massage could kill the homosexual cells in the prostate so that heterosexual cells could then come and take their place.
Okay.
Because
it's science. My favorite.
Like,
that's the best one. That is.
I do.
Sorry.
Like, it's.
But what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. My God, I mean...
It's science. What do you want us to say?
Love that.
Oof.
I mean, I don't love it.
Right.
I don't love the goal, but I really think it's, I mean, I love the thought of like gay guys lining up. They're like, we're going to go to this doc.
I prefer this guy. I do. There's a hope in me that's like somewhere out there, there were gay men who were like, I could be into that.
Yep. I mean,
the reality is probably that it was awful and uncomfortable.
Yeah, but, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was.
But we can hope, right?
I know. I mean, it's
it was a kink for like
fucking nightmare.
Yeah,
it's just a. That's gonna be probably the most tame one out of all. So let me just have this.
Have it.
Oh my god, that is. What the logic is amazing.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Okay, so now anyway. We're in the 1950s timeline wise.
I can't believe that. That's like not that long ago.
it's not.
My like grandparents were alive at that point. Like,
it's scary. It's not fun. No. It's not good to think about how not that long ago this happened.
Oh my god.
So in the 1950s, Edmund Bergler took the lead as the top psychoanalytic theorist of homosexuality. And you remember Alfred Kinsey of the Kinsey Scale of Sexuality?
Sure,
we talked about him in episode 51, if you're interested.
You look good.
I did.
You.
I looked it up.
Oh my God.
I prepared.
Proud of you.
Yes. so, yeah, that was Bergler's mortal enemy, apparently. He, like, fucking hated Alfred Kinsey.
Wow.
He just hated him.
Okay.
He didn't like him, and he didn't like his stupid face. And he hated him so much that he was like, fuck you, you think you're better than me? I'm gonna just, like, come out with some big fucking theory to just, like, blow your shit out of the water. And he went the total opposite direction, of course, as mortal enemies are one to do.
Sure.
And he decided to start developing theories for treatments that were basically just victim blaming. This one's one of the worst, I think. Like, it's not physical, it's emotional, but it's just, like, so bad. It's just like, what, there is no, I don't know what the thought process here could be, but basically here's what he thinks. He thinks that if gay people wanted to change, that and they had the right therapeutic exercises and they did them and they were committed, that they'd be cured 90% of the time. And in his mind, the best treatment here is something called confrontational therapy, which already does not sound good. And this is basically where gay people are punished in order to make them aware of their masochism.
Oh, my God.
And he basically said, like, straight up fuck you to professional ethics. And, like, he talked to patients. He talked about patients to other patients.
Oh,
so, like, confidentiality was not a thing for him. He bullied his patients. He said that they were liars. He said that they were worthless. And this was, like, apparently all in the name of curing them.
Oh, my God.
And it's, like, the first time that you see, I think, like, from the research, if I didn't miss something, which is totally possible, to be honest, this is, like, the first time you really start to see a, like, blatant shame being used, like, outside of a normal shame that's just existing in society. This is, like, the first time that shame is being used as some sort of technique for conversion.
Oh my god.
So fuck this guy.
Yeah, fuck, dude.
He's the fucking worst and I hate him.
Yeah, because it's also like he is, you know, quote unquote treating his patients. And then if they're like, hey, that was like really fucked up, he's like, well, guess you don't want to be cured. I'm really trying to help you. And he like,
you could be cured totally, but you're just not, you're just, you fucking suck. And like, obviously you don't want to be, and you just want to live as a worthless human being was basically his attempt.
I just like the most manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I like, who has that kind of energy? I don't know.
I do not know.
That's fucking awful.
And it's just like, like, even hating Alfred Kinsey, who, like, what was he fucking doing to you?
I know.
Other than trying to, like, look at sexuality as, like, a scale that could be explored and expand. Yeah. Like, what was he fucking doing to you for you to hate him because he was shedding a more positive light on sexual orientation? So obviously there's something in there. Like,
yeah,
you know, he was, you know, projecting and dealing with something clearly by, you know, taking out his anger on other people.
Exactly.
And it's sad and terrible. It's
really not
that
healthy.
People, yeah, that people had to be a like victim of that because he clearly had something off in his mind.
Yeah.
And it's not a way I would normally talk about it, but fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him.
So by 1952, the American Psychiatric Association officially classified homosexuality as a mental disorder in its first ever Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders, the DSM, which is like still a like book to classify mental illnesses. Yes. Like that's where people go to learn and add and share information, like clinical medical information about mental disorders. So like it's like a thing that one, it was created, and two, that homosexuality was included in the first edition. We'll talk about when it was taken out, and it's a long fucking time.
I know. I think that's, I feel like it was not too long ago, because I think I remember hearing about this. I don't think it was like, I hope it wasn't like this year, but I feel like.
No. It wasn't in your lifetime, but it was, it was not that
too
far.
Long.
It was too long that it stayed and didn't get taken out. So, in all of this insufferably terrible misery that is life, there is like a tiny sliver of hope that I want to include.
Please do.
In 1953, PhD having Evelyn Hooker applied.
Yes, girl.
Yes. Applied for a grant from the National Institute of Mental Health because also their acronym is like NIM. Which I just like. It's really funny to see it written NIMH. Yeah. And I want to say it like that. Anyways, that's not the point. She applied for this grant because she wanted to conduct research on quote-unquote normal homosexuals. And during this period of American history, homosexual acts were a crime. Gay parties were being raided by the police all the time, especially during election years because it was seen as like this political move to like, it's a war on crime kind of thing. Oh boy. And so this is a big deal.
Yeah.
To come out and have the stance and like want to investigate and research homosexuality in this like normalized way.
Mm-hmm.
So because of Hooker's close friendship with a gay man named Sam Frum, she was introduced to gay subculture and became one of the heterosexuals in the know. Mm-hmm. And Sam basically convinces her that it's like her scientific duty to study homosexuals and at first, she was like, I don't know. Okay, I'll do it. So she begins this research, and she starts by just interviewing gay men who are, like, friends and friends of friends and so on. Mm-hmm. But she didn't feel like it was, like, right. She was like, this isn't useful. This isn't going to do what we needed to do. So there's, like, all this stuff happens in between. But basically, she lands on doing it this way, where she brings in 30 homosexual men and then 30 heterosexual men. Mm-hmm. And they all have, like, the same IQs, ages, like educations, like so they're very equally distributed among the 30 of each group. And then also it's important to know that they were like all functioning normal in society. So none of them came from like a psychiatric background. Like they hadn't been you know, they'd never had conversion therapy. They've never been like treated for a mental illness just because they were gay or something like that. They were just totally normal people with no exposure to this from both sides.
Okay.
So then she basically posed this question of whether homosexuals and heterosexuals really differ at all psychologically. Mm-hmm. And she did these tests that I honestly didn't know what they were, and I didn't want to like spend the time to look them up. Fair. The only one I recognized was the Rorschach test. That's the only one that I was like, I know what that is, but like I don't know how they applied it. I don't know what the other two were, whatever. The point is that they all took all of these tests, and then she showed the results to experts and ask them to rate the men without having any knowledge of their sexual orientation prior to looking at the results. And one of the experts was like, I can definitely tell you that I'm going to be able to tell the heterosexual and homosexual groups different. Like,
okay, dude.
Yeah. Guess what? He couldn't. And then he asked for a second try and he couldn't again. The best he could do was awesome. Chance. Like, he could guess. Exactly. And like, you're going to get some right. But like, he couldn't give any reason. And like, there was no way to tell any difference.
Oh my God.
You know, because fucking duh.
Because fuck you. Oh my God.
So.
What a good feeling that must be to be like, yeah, sure, you can take it again.
Oh, you want a second try? Go for it, dude. Go for it. Look at the results.
Jesus.
Guess what? You failed again.
This is like actual science. Mm-hmm. This is like for real.
Yeah.
Understanding people.
Research.
And their fucking minds. It doesn't fucking matter. Oh my God. It doesn't matter what you like. Just. Fuck off.
Right.
Oh my God.
I agree. Fuck off. So Hooker was able to conclude that homosexuality is not a clinical entity and that homosexuality is not inherently associated with psychopathology. Shocking. LGBTQ people are just people. There is no difference.
But they can't be.
but hang on a second.
What?
Fuck? Oh my God. So. She said that presenting her research to APA's, the American Psychiatric Association, the book, APA's, she presented her research at APA's 1956 annual convention in Chicago, and she said that that was one of the most exciting days of her life.
Wow.
Yeah, and her groundbreaking research also won awards in both the science and in the LGBTQ communities.
Hell yeah.
And during one ceremony, she read a letter that she had received from a gay man thanking her and saying, I think you did it because you knew what love was when you saw it, and you knew that gay love was like all other love.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh my God.
So...
That's beautiful.
She seemed, I don't know, great. I'll admit, I didn't dig deep. Maybe there's some like things in there that aren't good and she did some things, but this thing that she did was good.
Yeah.
So I'll stand on that hill.
I will as well. Like right when you said that she she did amazing things for the scientific community and the LGBTQ community, I was like, those are the two best communities.
I love like, both of those
that's
communities.
Fucking awesome.
Absolutely. Hi, this episode is really long, and so we cut it into two parts to make it easier for you to listen to. Come back next week for the rest of it. And for now, I'm just going to tell you about the sources I use throughout this entire episode and put it on both episodes.
Hell yeah.
I'm figuring it out in real time.
Oh my God.
This is how the magic is made. Amazing. That's not a saying. So here are the resources I used. I used a history.com article by Aaron Blakemore, a psychology at ucdavis.edu, an APA article by Kathrina Millar, Wikipedia, just like multiple times. The... NCL Rights, which is, I don't even remember anymore. Oh God. I don't know. Just look up nclrights.org. Something about people and I don't know. National something, human, I don't know. I used a Talkspace article by Charlotte Lieberman, a Teen Vogue article by Chelsea Greenwood Lastman, a Time article by Steven Vinder and David S. Byers. Something from an article from Live Science by Stephanie Pappas, the TrevorProject.org, LGBTMap.org, HRC, Human Rights Campaign, that's what that one stands for, .org, a Medium list by Florence Ashley, a Washington Post article by J. Seth Anderson, a Huffington Post article by James Michael Nicholas. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. His last name is Nichols, which is literally my maiden name, spelled the exact same way.
Whoa.
And I just said it wrong.
Whoa.
That was just my name for 27 years. And yet.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's right. Doesn't matter.
Whoa.
Prospect.org article by Gabrielle Arana. They cut article, an article from The Cut by Alexander. It's been a long night, guys. Okay. So I'm sorry. Yes. By Alexa Chalouse-Ray. Another Time article by James Guay. Gizmodo article by Ed Cara, and a BuzzFeed News article by Patrick Sturdwick.
Wow.
Oh my God. Okay.
Look at that.
We've done it. We're either halfway there and we did that, or we're all the way there and you did that too.
We all did it.
We did it together. It's late. We're tired and we're depressed.
Yay.
We're a can of wine in. And that's just how we live our lives. So thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Come back next week for part two, or you just finished part two and way to go.
Yeah.
Good job. Thanks. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And have a great life.
All right. See you never. Bye.
You can find us on the internet at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our handle is @FriskyHistory. You can also listen on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google maybe has one. Anywhere podcasts are available.
You can direct your questions, concerns, feedback, and weird sex stories to our email at friskyhistory@gmail.com.
Yeah. Bye. Fuck you, Terry.